Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, on demand via the Bloomberg Radio Plus app, free for iPhone and Android devices.
Noel O'Halloran, Chief Investment Officer at KBI Global Investors. He is joining us in the studio. A very good morning to you, Noel. Now, we did see a debate in France last night with 11 presidential contenders facing off. I just want to start by gauging your view on European political risk at the moment, as we're 2.5 weeks away from the first round of the French presidential election. How are you positioning around that election?
Yeah, good morning. Well, when we entered the year, we had sort of four political elections ahead of us. We had the Netherlands election was the big concern. That's come and gone, and it's been a pretty benign reaction to that. Next up is France. I think the lesson for the last 12 months for anybody who's an observer of the polls is, had we looked at the polls in terms of Brexit, had we looked at the polls in terms of the Trump election in the US, the polls were pretty accurate. So if we look at the French election, the polls have been rock steady in terms of, you know, what the final result of that will be. Le Pen, which is the market fear, is consistently 20 points behind in terms of a final election. And therefore, you know, from our perspective, we probably think the markets are overexcited about French political risk. I think it's interesting, as I listen to people this year, they're trying to be the hero they weren't twice last year, trying to predict that Le Pen is going to win. Maybe the hero call is to suggest she won't even get through the first round.
Interesting. Even as we see spreads, French, Italian spreads over German bunds widening.
Yeah, I think that's natural that the markets will just reflect some political uncertainty, and we will have this roller coaster up to the May elections, and I'm sure the French election will dominate the markets for the second quarter. But we'd expect a pretty market-friendly result out of the election.
Isn't there a risk, though, that the markets could be sort of lulled into a sense of complacency looking ahead? And also, to what extent do you think that we are seeing political risk priced into the euro at this moment?
Yeah, I think when it comes to Europe, people always fear for the worst. So I think that risk is pretty low. So I think if you just look year to date, one of the positive things that's happened is the European economies have been consistently stronger than people have expected. I think that's been overlooked by lots of investors because they are fixated by looking at political risk in France in particular, and then they'll move on to Germany for the second half of the year. So I think it's natural. It's always been the case in Europe. The euro-dollar, I think the euro at 106, 107 today is a surprise. I mean, many people call parity by now, and it hasn't happened. So you could argue that the euro in a 105 to 110 range is maybe what we should expect this year.
The powering ahead in Q1 was essentially on the back of the reflation trade. Now there seems to be some souring around that idea. Where do you see then the most opportunities when it comes to Q2?
Yeah, I think there's been two elements of the first quarter. One is the souring of the Trump trade, but that came late, and that came in March. I think that's overshadowing what was the key driver in the first quarter, which was better economic fundamentals around the world, from China to the US to the UK to Europe. And I think that bit continues. So looking into the second quarter, I think Trump has obviously struggled politically for the first quarter, so he's going to need to get back to do a tax deal. And that, if he is successful and followed by an infrastructure deal, that will rekindle the reflation trade element. But aside from that, I think the underlying economy will be the key driver of the second quarter. So I suppose at KBI, we're really focusing that there's now a change. So the last 8 years of this bull market from March 2009 have been a sort of a deflationary environment with markets driven by central banks predominantly with some fundamentals. I think we're now at a pivot point where we now move to strong fundamentals and the central banks taking a sort of a back seat, led by the Fed, who are clearly now on the other side putting up rates. So fundamentals will drive the quarters. I think globally that leads us to better opportunities probably outside the US rather than within the US.
Noel, where do you see the risks, though, however? You talk there about this 8-year bull race, but you say as well in your notes that this is a hurdle race. Where are the risks? Are they coming from the White House and the US Congress and the inability perhaps of US politicians being able to agree on tax reform, health reform, etc.?
Yeah, I think political risk in the US is top of the list. And We've got two elements to that. We've got domestic risk, which is that we just get gridlock in Congress and we get no deals on tax, and therefore confidence itself subsides domestically in the US. And we've also got global risk from the US, which is trade. So the dog that didn't bark, so to speak, so far is global trade wars. We obviously are hopeful that this week's visit by the Chinese won't lead to that, but that's a high risk. You've got Brexit risk, you've got European political risk, which we've already discussed, and you've got that sort of unknown risk that's always there in markets. But the key risks, I think, are political right now.
In terms of where that leaves Europe and European investors, a lot of the bullishness has been transferred, I think, from the US over to Europe. How justified can we be? I mean, you've talked about the fundamentals, and Europe has shown that it is perhaps stronger than a lot of the chatter.
Yeah, I think the justification will come through in earnings. So far, if we look at some of the leading indicators from the economic side, particularly the likes of the purchasing managers' indices, the quarter one GDP data, I'm sure that's justifying what should be good earnings. But we have yet to see those earnings. So a lot of the hope will come through if we get good earnings. To date, the signs are good. We haven't seen many negative earnings revisions, which is new. So that gives me more confidence.
Just taking the conversation back to the United States, we're going to be getting the minutes from the Fed's March meeting later today. This follows a whole parade of Fed speakers, essentially, in the past week or so, sort of advertising between 2 and 4 rate hikes in total in 2017. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I think the debate around the Fed is probably going to take a back seat. So whether it's 2 or 4, I think is a kind of a boring debate from the market's perspective. The logical answer is it'll depend on how strong the economy is. We know that today it's, you know, when we sat here a number of months ago, it was between 1 and 3. It's now between 2 and 4. So directionally, it's for more rather than less. So I'd probably be at the top end of that. I think inflation, and there are signs of inflation coming through. It's not worrying, but there's definitely more talk about inflation today from the companies we meet than there was about deflation, which might have been characterized for the last 5 years.
What do you make then of the meeting between President Xi and President Trump? What are you hoping to hear? What's the kind of best case scenario? And also, what do you think about him stopping off in Helsinki, the most northernmost point of Europe? Why
don't
there?
Knock the what Nordics, Caroline.
No, not knocking it. Just very curious to understand, you know, the symbolism behind that.
I think that's beyond me to try and understand that symbolism. You know, we can't rationalize everything Trump does or the Chinese do. So, you know, that bit is probably a bit of a red herring. I think the key question is really going to be around what comes out of the meeting. So what do I hope for? I hope for a sort of good bonhomie between the two. I would fear you get some nasty trade war. I think right now, logically, Trump just can't afford that. He's got too much on his plate domestically. So I think a good result for Trump would be to come back and say, you know, he's got the Chinese to invest in jobs in America. You know, jobs in America is definitely a win. And some more chatter around trade and trade deals into the future. And obviously, Korea is part of the mix as well. So, you know, lots of talk, probably no action.
You say that you want bonhomie between these two men, but what if that doesn't happen? And what if we see a sort of a distinctly more protectionist stance from the American side? What happens then if we look at the markets?
I think that's a big negative for markets. So that's, as we said, the biggest risk out there is probably trade, global protectionism led by the US. If that happens, that is a negative. And the more rosy outlook immediately changes because it is inflationary. It is not good for global equities. It's not good for domestic economies. It's not good for the US either. So that would be a different scenario. And it is, you know, it's probably a 20% risk in my outlook.
20% risk. Just one last thought then for us. The French presidential debate last night. How concerned are you around a Marine Le Pen or the anti-euro candidate? Does that influence your thinking on the euro, on investments within Europe?
I think it solidifies. I think the combination of the fringes in France and the fringes in the rest of Europe and the Brexit outcome probably solidifies the core centrist politicians both in France and Germany. So I think if they're going to learn any lesson from the last 12 months and the elections, it probably should solidify that core Franco-German political establishment. If that happens, I think that's probably a good outcome. If it doesn't happen and you get some more populism, clearly that's a bad thing. But to date, it would look like the former is happening.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 1 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Washington, D.C. on Bloomberg 99.1 FM and 105.7 FM HD2, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 AM and 103.7 FM HD2, and on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2016 Bloomberg LP.